Welcome to the podcast of Radius Church. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
Michael was a 5'10" sophomore who tried out for the basketball team. Tried out for varsity. There was only one spot for sophomores on the varsity team, and he was dropped. He didn't make it. Instead, the coach went with 6'7", Leroy Smith. How many would go with a 6'7" guy over a 5'10", huh? Yeah. But that did not deter Mike from playing basketball. He didn't quit. He didn't sulk. He didn't, get mad at the coach. Instead, he used that to motivate him and work on his game, improve his skills, every aspect that he could. And it's a good thing that Mike did push through instead of quitting, because if he didn't push through, Mike would not have become 5-time NBA MVP, 10-time All-NBA First Team, 9-time NBA All-Defensive First Team, NBA Defensive Player of the Year, 14-time NBA All-Star, obtained 10 scoring titles, an NBA record, and have 7 consecutive titles matching Wilt Chamberlain, become a 6-time NBA champion, 2 three-peats, and retire with the NBA's highest scoring average of 30.1 points per game, Michael Jordan. Can you imagine that? What would have happened if Michael Jordan, as a sophomore, cut from the team, can't make varsity, not good enough, have to settle for junior varsity, said, that's it, it's a waste of time, I'm not going to push through this, I'm going to quit. We would have missed out on the greatest basketball player of all time. He would have missed out on so much, especially those Nike endorsements. You know what I mean? How many tennis shoes would we not have today if it wasn't for Michael Jordan, all right? But seriously, Mike pushed through, and because of that, he was rewarded. And this morning, we are going to talk about the title of our message, and the topic of our message is called Push Through. We're wrapping up our main event series, and in your notes this morning, on the back of your worship program, to give you a definition of what push through means, it means perseverance, persistence, tenacity. It's perseverance. It's not giving up in the face of numbness, uncertainty, adversity, futility, apathy, monotony, boredom, or any other reason. We don't give up no matter what happens. We push through. And as we wrap up our main event series, we're going to see how the disciples needed to push through the events that followed the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I want to welcome everyone here today to Radius, those who are live and also those who are online. Thanks, online audience, for joining us. It's good to have you with us. And if you have missed any one of our messages, you can catch up on them by going to our YouTube channel, Radius Church, Casper, Wyoming, or you can go to our website, radiuschurch.life, go to the Watch tab, and all of the messages are right there along with the study notes. You can download those and look those over. But we have been learning the past few weeks how the death and resurrection of Jesus is the main event of all history. All history, if we didn't have the death and resurrection of Jesus, everything in the world would be lost. Eternity past and future all points to the resurrection of Jesus. We see in eternity past that God determined before he even created the world that Jesus would die on the cross, the Lamb of God would give his life for our sin. It says in Revelation 13:8, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Eternity past is tied to the death and resurrection of Jesus. Eternity future is tied to the death and resurrection of Jesus, because we're told in Revelation that unless your name is written in the Lamb's book of life, you will not get into heaven. Nothing evil will be permitted into it. You need to have your name in the Lamb's book of life. Jesus died for our sin. Paul said to the Corinthian Christians that if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. If Christ isn't risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. And so the death and resurrection of Jesus is really the main event in history. And as we've been looking at the main event, the death and resurrection, we've been looking at the events that surrounded it, that were included in it, and we've been realizing that throughout the days before, and what we'll see is the days after, not only does it show us what the main event was for history, but Jesus modeled and he taught us some things that need to become main events in our life. In the triumphal entry in the Passover, we learn that praise needs to be a main event. We praise God for who he is, and we praise God for what he's done for us. In week two, when we looked at the garden to the grave, Jesus went to the garden and he prayed, and that prayer strengthened him and sustained him and enabled him to go through all the suffering, all the horror, all the betrayal, all the abandonment that he was going to experience in the next few hours. And we learned through that prayer needs to be a main event in our life because it gives us strength for everything that we encounter. Last week, we talked about the death and resurrection itself and how they give us the new life. We've inherited a new life. And this new life gives us a new identity, a new perspective, and a new purpose. And Paul said, we need to walk in the newness of life. So many times as Christians, we obtain spiritual amnesia. We forget about the new life we've been given, and we get dragged down. We don't live a life of joy, of victory, of peace, of purpose. And God wants us to live in the new life. That needs to be a main event, that every day we're walking in the newness of life. This morning, we're going to look at the post-resurrection, and this is going to teach us that we need to push through life with perseverance. Perseverance needs to be a main event in our lives. So let me throw out a question. How many of you have ever had a difficult time spiritually and you've wondered if God cared? Raise your hand. Many of you have raised your hands. Yeah. Has it ever gone to this place where you not only wondered if God cared, you begin to drift to think, is this faith of mine really real? Is what I've been taught, is it true? Or is it worth it? Does it really matter? How many have ever drifted to that? Several of you. I'm in that boat. I know I've had questions in my life. And I've wondered, when I was a freshman in college studying for ministry, it was a very dark time. God kind of seemed to pull back his presence in my life, and it seemed like everything was empty spiritually. I could read the Bible. I got no more spiritual insight and encouragement from it than reading the newspaper. And how many know the newspaper is not too encouraging, huh? You know, we had chapel services every day. We're going to church all the time. I'm studying God's word for classes. God seemed a million miles away. And I begin to ask myself, how do I know that this is true and not just something made up that my parents told me or my pastor told me? And it was a time that I had to search and I had to dig. I had to push through that. All of us experience these times of adversity, and we need to push through those times of adversity. Sometimes, however, we experience a high place, a mountaintop experience with God. How many of you have ever done that before? You've been to a camp, you've been to a convention, God answers prayer, he gives a breakthrough, and it's like, woo, I'm walking on cloud nine. But then what happens as the emotion fades, as time passes and you kind of get away from what God did for you, and over time you find yourself right back where you once were? How many have ever been in that place before? Yeah. And what is easy to do, what I've seen is there are some people that they want to live for an emotional high spiritually, and they want to be in this high place all the time. And when I was a youth pastor, I saw it with my students. They'd go to youth camp, get fired up for God in the summer. They come back a few weeks later, they're kind of just down again, not really going after God. Youth convention comes in the fall. Woo, we're fired up for God. But as the weeks go on, then they kind of decline and their appetite for God isn't there. We do winter retreat and woo, it's up high again. It's just this roller coaster Christianity. No steadiness, not pushing through emotions. We need perseverance in our life, that our commitment, our relationship with God is steady. And yes, there will be high times, but once we get past those high times, once we get past the concert, once we get past the Holy Spirit conference, it's not like, I'm not serving God, I'm not really doing anything, I fall back to my old habits and patterns. God wants us to have lives that continue living in the new life, continue living in the new identity, continue living with the new perspective and the new purpose that He has for us. Perseverance to push through is key. So this morning, I want to give you principles of perseverance. How do you and I persevere through life? How do we persevere through the tough times, the high times, those times when it's dry, when it seems like nothing's happening? Six things in your notes this morning. Number one, keep connected in a Christ-centered community. The first thing that we do to push through with perseverance is we need to keep connected in a Christ-centered community. In John chapter 20, verse 1, this is Resurrection Day. Okay, let's pick it up. Let's look at it. On the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved. Who was a disciple that Jesus loved? John, yes. And then it says, it goes on to them, it says, they've taken the Lord away out of the tomb. We don't know where they have laid him. Peter therefore went out and the other disciple and were going to the tomb. This is the very first time that we see Peter after he's denied Jesus three times. First time we see him. It would have been very easy for Peter, after he denies Christ, after he blows it, that he could have just says, you know what? There's no use for me. He could have walked away. He could have isolated himself from all the other Christ followers, but he didn't. Because when this lady wants to go tell someone, she knows where Peter is at. She goes and finds him. Peter didn't go off out on his own, isolate himself out in the boondocks. He didn't leave town. She knew exactly where he was at. He didn't run and hide. He was still there, and he was with John. He surrounded himself with a strong Christian brother. He didn't let the guilt, he didn't let the shame, he didn't let the remorse paralyze him, cause him to isolate himself and withdraw from the Christian community. Instead, he stayed engaged with other Christ followers. And there's a lesson there for you and me, that when you and I are struggling with our own personal demons, maybe even when we fail horrifically, when we've got questions, when we have doubts, when we have problems and fears, don't isolate yourself. Keep connected in a Christ-centered community. Develop relationships with other believers. Seek them out. When you're going through a rough time, that is the worst time to isolate yourself. More than ever, you need relationships in the body of Christ. If you don't have close relationships, you are going to not be supported. And Peter, he had that support because he was in relationship with John. And if you fast forward to verse 19, that evening of the resurrection, Peter is with the other 11 except Thomas. Thomas wasn't there. Peter's there with them. He's still being connected. Later in John 21, he's staying connected. Peter kept in community. The devil wants you to go through your trials alone. He wants you to go through your Christian life alone. He wants you to go through your doubts and your fears and your questions alone. Because he knows when you're alone, you have no support, no encouragement, and there's no prayer lifting you up. When you're alone and you have questions, then there's no godly input being spoken into your life. When you're alone, you probably won't stay alone, because God created us for relationship. And so if we've separated ourselves from other Christians, from other followers of Jesus, then we're going to hook up with someone who doesn't have God's values, doesn't have God's mindset, God's principles, people that don't fear God and His ways, and we will be influenced by them. We'll begin to adopt their thoughts, their values, their attitudes, and we will become like them. And as Paul said in Corinthians, evil company corrupts good habits. We need to be a people that keep connected in strong relationships. This morning, are you connected? Do you have any armor bearers? Do you have people you go to for support? Are you kind of like the Lone Ranger? Hi-ho, silver away. And you've got no one in your life that speaks in your life. No one that holds you accountable. No one that's there to pray for you and support you, to ask you those questions. How are you doing? Are you part of the body? Or have you cut yourself off from the body and isolated yourself? If you want to persevere as a Christian, get connected into the body. Develop strong relationships with mature Christian followers of Jesus. It's essential. That's the first principle of perseverance, all right? Let's look at number two. Number two is involve Jesus in every part of your life instead of trying to do life apart from Jesus. Involve Jesus in every part of your life instead of trying to do life apart from Jesus. Jesus, and we're going to take a look in John 21, so you can flip there if you want. We're going to camp out in there for a while. But before John 21, Jesus had already appeared to Peter three separate times. We're told in Luke 24, 34, that Jesus appeared to Simon on the first day personally. That would have been a fun encounter to hear. It's not recorded anywhere in Scripture what took place. It just says in Luke 24, 34, that he appeared to Simon alone. I wonder what Jesus said to him alone. We have no idea. Paul confirms that in 1 Corinthians 15, 5, that Peter had this one-on-one encounter with Christ. Also, in John 20, 19, Jesus appears to all 11 except Thomas. And then in John 20, 26, it says 8 days later, Jesus now appears to all 11, and Thomas is present at that time. So three separate times. You come to John 21, and Jesus is going to appear to Peter again with the disciples. And what is he doing? Now, here's an interesting thing. In the three previous accounts of Jesus appearing to Peter, not once do we see Peter asking for advice. Not once do we see Peter asking Jesus for wisdom and insight for his life, for anything, okay? And I think that's significant. Let's take a look at John chapter 21, verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. This is the way he showed himself. Verse 2, Simon Peter, it's going to list all the people who he showed himself to, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, that would be James and John, and two others of his disciples were together. So seven of the 12 have gone to the Sea of Tiberias. Verse 3, Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. Okay, how many would say that's a great thing to do when you've got a problem to go fishing, all right? Some of you fishermen out there, to me I'd say, I'm going golfing, all right? No. But here's the thing. He's going fishing, and it says, they said with him, we're going to go with you also. They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. They fished all night and caught absolutely nothing. What does Peter do? Peter reverts back to his previous life. Peter, Andrew, James, and John, we know from Scripture, were fishermen, and at least three of those four went back to what they knew, what they were comfortable with. Now, it is possible, very, very possible, they needed money. Okay, because when Jesus was on the earth, there was a group of ladies, Luke chapter 8 tells us, that these ladies, they provided for Jesus and the disciples for all of their needs for the 3.5 years of his ministry. So when Jesus dies, yeah, that funding probably dried up. At the same time, though, Judas kept the treasury. And so there was probably, now, Judas had been stealing from the treasury, but what happened to all that money that had accumulated over that time, that was probably still there. They probably still had that money. There was that money for them to live on. But instead of trusting God and saying, yep, we're just going to trust God, no, let's go back to our previous occupation. It's almost like they're hedging their bets. Hey, if this disciple gig doesn't work out, then we're going to have our fisherman business already up and going, and we don't have to then make up time. We're going to be steady, solidified, and ready to roll. They were trusting in their contingency plan. At no point did Peter ask Jesus, should I go back to fishing? And here's the thing. When you and I try to engage life apart from God, we're going to end up like the disciples with nothing. We're going to end up with empty nets. Because when you try to do life apart from Christ, it's futility. Solomon said it, vanity of vanity, everything is vanity. When you're living a life without God, everything is vain. Is there something that you and I do when life gets tough, when it's not happening? Instead of seeking God for what he wants us to do, we revert back to what's convenient. We revert back to what is commonplace, what we know, instead of trusting God and listening him for the next step. We need to be a people that involve Jesus in every point of our life. Take a look at verse 4. Verse 4 of John 21. When morning had come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, children, have you caught any food? They answered him, no. And he said, cast your net on the right side of the boat, and you'll find some. Now these guys, they're tried and true fishermen. This was their business. They knew what to do. And yet, they tried all night. There was nothing. But they obeyed Jesus. They cast the net, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Verse 10, Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you've just caught. Simon Peter went up, and he dragged the net to land full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. When the disciples were fishing on their own, they caught nothing. When they involved Jesus in their life, they received an abundance in their life. I believe that's a lesson for us. We need to involve Jesus in every part of our life. Now, hear me. That doesn't mean if we rely on God all the time that we're going to have health, wealth, prosperity, and any kind of car you want to drive. Okay? It's not a guarantee of that. For example, there are many missionaries that have labored overseas for years without seeing any results. When you tie success to how much you follow God, you're making a God of success instead of God himself. And God blesses us. We've got some missionaries at our Spring Missions Convention. I won't name them, but they are working with Muslims in very difficult countries. Some have labored there for years, and they've seen very limited results. But if it wasn't for missionaries who did that about 50, 60, 70, 80, 100 years ago, you wouldn't have revival breaking out in Africa today. Those missionaries pushed through, and because of that, we're seeing a result. And friends, there might be times in our life where we're pushing, we're persevering, we're not seeing any results, but you don't know the seeds you're planting that your children, your grandchildren, or great-grandchildren are going to be the ones who harvest it. We need to be a people that push through in our lives, and we must involve Jesus in every part of our life. And so my question for you is Jesus involved in your life? Do you take time? And the word came this morning about letting the Holy Spirit reveal things to us. Are you waiting on God and asking him for direction for your decisions? Or you just go through life making your own decisions, not really asking God for his wisdom and his perspective about it? Involve Jesus in your life, because if you don't, you're going to end up empty. You might gain the whole world, but you'll lose your soul and you'll find yourself to be empty. So that is the second principle for pushing through with perseverance, is that we need to involve Jesus in every part of our life. Principle number three this morning, if you fail, don't be afraid to start again. If you fail, don't be afraid to start again. Three times, Peter denied Jesus. Three times he said, I don't know him. Look what Jesus did. On the shore, he makes the disciples some breakfast with a fish they caught. We're going to pick it up in verse 15. When they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to them, yes, Lord, you know I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him a second time, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Jesus restores Peter. He's saying, I want you to take care of my followers. I want to restore you to a position of leadership in my ecclesia, in my church, in my body that feeds, that watches over, that tends, that supervises, that helps my little lambs, my new ones, and it helps my sheep, those who are mature. I am reinstalling you into that. Peter could have lived in his failure. But he didn't. Instead, he started over again despite his failure. God takes us back after failure. You can see it in Scripture. When David failed with adultery and murder, God received him back. When Jonah failed with rebellion and resentment and ran away from God, God accepted him back. God accepts us back. Even when we fail, there is nothing that you have done that God won't welcome you back. If you're watching online this morning, there's nothing that you have done, no sin you've committed, no way you've blown it, that God doesn't say, I'll welcome you back and bring you back and restore you. God wants you and I to start again if we've failed. That's how you persevere. We are all going to fail in one way or another at different times. When you fail, don't give up. Don't quit. Start again. And by the way, when you're down on the ground, pick something up. What did you learn from that? See what you learned and push through the adversity and the difficulty you're going through. Okay, let's take a look at in your notes this morning. It says, if you've sinned, repent and return to God, He'll accept you. It says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, He's faithful. How many times does faithful cover? All of it. So every time you confess, if you're confessing, you're repenting, He is faithful and He's just. He will cleanse us from our sins and forgive us of all our unrighteousness. God wants to forgive us. He'll accept you. God takes us back after failure. If you feel you've failed, don't let failure be final. You're only a failure when you quit trying. You're only a failure when you quit trying. Don't let failure be final. Okay. Principle number four, and by the way, 4 and 5, these are found in our outside of our story in John 21. So we're going to take a little detour, and then we'll come back at principle number 6. But number 4 in your notes this morning, keep taking small steps forward. Keep taking small steps forward. How many remember the old fable, the tortoise and the hare? That tortoise started the race. Just took small step, another small step. And I'm sure when the rabbit took off, those small steps seemed pretty insignificant, pretty meaningless. I mean, just in 2 minutes, how far is the rabbit and how far is the tortoise? I mean, it probably seemed like a waste of time. People could have said, why are you even trying? This is a waste of time. Go do something else. But no, the tortoise keeps taking small steps forward. And we know what happened because he took small steps forward, he won. And that's a moral for us. That's a lesson for us. We need to keep taking small steps forward, no matter how insignificant, no matter how small they seem to be, because they will bring us to victory. We see this in Luke chapter 18, verse 1 through 5, where Jesus tells a parable that illustrates this. It's a story he's using about prayer, but it really applies to every aspect of our life about persevering. It says, Jesus one day told his disciples a story to show they should always pray and never give up. Some of you have given up on prayer. Don't. Don't, because it says never give up. Verse 2, there was a judge in a certain city who neither feared God nor cared about people. A widow of that city came to him repeatedly, say repeatedly, saying, give me justice in this dispute with my enemy. The judge ignored her for a while, but finally he said to himself, I don't fear God or care about people, but this woman is driving me crazy. Now, how many husbands have said, no, don't raise your hand, okay? This woman is driving me crazy. I'm going to see that she gets justice because she's wearing me out with her constant requests. What did this lady, this widow lady who had no one to defend her, no one to stick up for her, what did she do? Every day she left her house and she took steps and went to the judge's office or the judge's home and she said small words over and over. She did it repeatedly. Every day she took those steps. She traveled that journey day after day. She kept taking steps forward. She kept saying the same thing. And because she kept taking small steps forward, she persevered and she got her answer. Friends, as long as you and I keep taking small steps forward, we will persevere. It's when you stop stepping that you quit and you'll fail. Don't give up. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know how bad it is, but keep praying. Keep connecting with the body of Christ. Keep reading the word, keep applying the word, keep obeying, keep doing the things God has told you to do. Don't give up, persevere, follow his identity, his perspective, his purpose, walk in the newness of life. The push through needs to be a main event in our lives. Okay, let's take a look at number 5 this morning. The fifth principle of persevering is rest, don't quit. How many say, I'll accept that one, I can use some rest. How many need some rest this morning? Yeah, we live, Diane, your song talked about a frenetic pace. Many of us live at a frenetic pace. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 says, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we don't lose heart. That word weary, it means exhausted, utterly spiritless. And we're told not to grow exhausted, not to grow utterly spiritless, having no spirit, no heart, no gumption to do anything. All of us get tired, but the way to prevent exhaustion is rest. And there are some of us, we're working way too much. Our schedules are crammed so full. There are some of you, I'm glad you came to church today, but as soon as you get home, you're going to start back up and work till late at night, and then you're going to start all over tomorrow. Friends, if you don't take a day of rest, it'll kill you. In the Bible, when they said, we're going to stone someone for working on the Sabbath, it was a illustration that if you work on the Sabbath, you keep working continually, it produces death in your life. Some of us, we need to begin to look at our schedule and we need to cut some things out because they're not priorities, they're not really important. For some of us, that means there might be some hobbies we need to give up. There might need to disconnect our Facebook account because it's taking too much time. We might need to let go of a streaming service, or we may need to have our kids drop out of some activities because we are so busy doing what we're doing that it is killing us. Physically, emotionally, spiritually, and maybe even relationally with our spouse and our kids. We need to be people that are resting so that we don't become exhausted and quit. Rest restores and rejuvenates. There's a true story about this young man who was an axe cutter. He was a lumberjack, and he became really pretty proficient at cutting down trees really fast. And there was this older lumberjack who was known for his speed, still very, very fast. And this young guy felt he had the wherewithal that he could challenge him and take him on. So he says, let's have a competition. I challenge you that I can cut down more trees in a day than you can cut down. The older guy says, yeah, sure, I'll take you up on it. So they start out the competition early in the morning, and the young guy with all of his vim, vigor, and vitality is just whacking away, cutting down tree after tree after tree. And he begins to notice that the older lumberjack, after about an hour, he stopped and sat down for about 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and just sat there. And he's thinking, man, I've got this. He's already tired after an hour. And an hour later, he does the same thing. Every hour, he's just sitting down. And this young guy's thinking, man, I'm going to beat him. But when they came to the end of the day, the older guy had cut down way more trees than the younger guy. And he's just scratching his head, man. I don't get this. He goes up to him and says, how did you beat me? I don't get it. You rested every hour, 10, 15 minutes. And the old lumberjack says, well, when I was sitting there, I wasn't doing nothing. I was sharpening my axe. You see, friends, when you rest, you allow the Holy Spirit to sharpen your axe, and you become more effective. Instead of chopping, 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 chopping through the week, trying to chop this out, chop that out, we need to be people that rest, because rest restores and it rejuvenates. And when we rest, we will persevere through and not become exhausted, spiritless, and weary, and give up. Do you need rest in your life? Maybe this afternoon you need to take a break, what you had planned, and sit down with God and let the Holy Spirit reveal to you how you need to rearrange your schedule, what you need to change in your life so that you can begin to have rest, so you can push through and not burn out. Okay, principle number 6, the last one this morning. Are you ready? Accept the good and the bad, remembering God is sovereign and He rewards the faithful. Accept the good, the bad, remembering that God is sovereign and He rewards the faithful. In John chapter 21, going back there, verse 18, Jesus says to Peter, I tell you the truth. When you were young, you were able to do as you liked. You dressed yourself and went wherever you wanted to go. But when you're old, you will stretch out your hands and others will dress you and take you where you don't want to go. Jesus said this to let him know by what kind of death he would glorify God. Then Jesus told him, follow me. You see, what Jesus was saying is that, Peter, you're going to die a violent death. You're going to be in prison. You're going to stretch out your hands, and they're going to bind you. They're going to escort you to a place you don't want to go, and you're going to die a martyr's death for me. And after he tells him that great news, he says, follow me. Isn't that a great pitch? Hey, come with me. You're going to get killed, but follow me anyway. Ancient writers tell us that about 34 years later, Peter was led to crucifixion. And he said, please crucify me upside down, because I'm not worthy to be crucified in the same manner that my Savior died for me. And he was crucified. You see, Peter accepted the good. Yeah, I'll feed the sheep, I'll tend the sheep, I'll be a leader in the kingdom. But he also accepted the martyr's death. He accepted the good and the bad, allowing God to be sovereign. And he remembered that God rewards the faithful who push through and persevere. We're told in James chapter 5, verse 11, indeed we count them blessed who endure. That's another word for persevere. You have heard of the perseverance of Job. If you look at the story of Job, he lost all of his wealth, lost all of his businesses, his agricultural things that he had. He lost all of his kids. They died when a house collapsed upon them. And then his wife thought he had been unfaithful. He'd done some horrible thing. Well, all this horrible things happen to him, why they lost everything. She turns on him, and then Job loses his health. He has boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his body. He's in pain and agony, but the entire time he doesn't curse God, he doesn't give up, he pushes through with perseverance. And it says, you've heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. You see, Satan went to God and said, Job doesn't serve you out of pure motives. He only serves you because you bless him. If you would curse Job, he would curse you and die. If you allowed bad to happen to Job, he would quit on you. And God said, oh yeah? You can test him. Job pushed through the adversity, the pain, the suffering, the futility, the emptiness. But God rewarded him because he was faithful. Friends, we don't see the end on this side of eternity all the time. Sometimes we do. Sometimes God comes through and he answers. And there's other times he doesn't. I have seen Christians that have lost loved ones, lost a dream, lost a vision that God gave them. And when that happens, they says, man, if this is what Christianity is all about, I don't want anything to do with it. And they walk away from God. They don't push through. I've seen others, they follow God in the adversity and stuff, but you know what? When they get blessed, when they experience success, now it's like, you know what? Look what I've done. And they forget about relying on God, and they put God in a corner, and they say, I don't need him anymore, and they walk away from God because of their success. Friends, if you are at the bottom of the heap going through suffering like Job, or you're at the top of the mountain, it doesn't matter. We need to push through with perseverance all the days of our life. Walking in the newness of life, that Jesus loved us. He gave his life on the cross. He died. He rose again to give you and me a new life. And because I've got a new identity and I've got a new perspective, when suffering comes, I pray and I praise the main parts of my life, and I'm going to persevere through everything and fulfill his new purpose he's given me. It's the main event. I want to close this morning with a video clip from the movie Rocky Balboa. And in it, Rocky is going to talk to his son about adversity in life. Watch the screens.
You know, living with you, it hasn't been easy. People see me, but they think of you. Now with all this going on, this is going to be worse than ever.
It don't have to be.
No, sure it does.
Why? You got a lot going on, kid.
Oh, well, my last name? That's the reason I got a decent job. That's the reason why people deal with me in the first place. Now I start to get a little ahead. I start to get a little something for myself. And this happens. Now I'm asking you as a favor not to go through with this, okay? This is only going to end up bad for you, and it's going to end up bad for me.
You think I'm hurting you?
Yeah, in a way you are.
That's the last thing I ever wanted to do.
I know that's not what you want to do, but that's just the way that it is. Don't you care what people think? Doesn't it bother you that people are making you out to be a joke and that I'm going to be included in that? Do you think that's right? Do you?
You ain't going to believe this. But you used to fit right here. I'd hold you up and say to your mother, this kid's going to be the best kid in the world. This kid's going to be somebody better than anybody ever knew. And you grew up good and wonderful. It was great just watching. Every day was like a privilege. Then the time come for you to be your own man and take on the world, and you did. But somewhere along the line, you changed. You stopped being you. You let people stick a finger in your face and tell you you're no good. And when things got hard, you started looking for something to blame, like a big shadow. Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is gonna hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done. Now, if you know what you're worth, now go out and get what you're worth. But you gotta be willing to take the hits and not pointing fingers saying you ain't where you want to be because of him or her or anybody. Cowards do that, and that ain't you. You're better than that. I'm always gonna love you no matter what. No matter what happens. You're my son, you're my blood. You're the best thing in my life. But until you start believing in yourself, you ain't gonna have a life.
I believe God is saying something like that to us today. I'm always gonna love you. You're my son. You're my daughter. I gave my blood for you. But this world ain't sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life, but it ain't about how hard you're hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done. So don't be a coward. Don't point fingers at someone else and blame them for what's going on in your life. Say, God, I'm surrendering my life to you. I don't understand your end, your purpose, but give me a new perspective. Help me to see you work all things together for good. I'm going to involve you in every part of my life, in my adversity and futility, or in my success and prosperity. I'm not going to let monotony or boredom or emptiness or numbness or anything keep me from walking in newness of life, walking in relationship with you, loving you with all my heart, my soul, my mind, and my strength. I am pushing through. Because blessed are those who endure, who persevere. God rewards the faithful. And he'll reward you. Let's pray this morning. Lord God, you see the amount of emotions that are here today in those who are in this room and those who are watching online. God, you know the heartbreak, the hurt, the frustration, the anger, the disappointment. God, you know every detail. But I pray today you'll give comfort and courage to keep pushing through, to not quit, to love you, to trust you, and obey you with all of our being. This morning, how many of you would say, I need to push through, I need to persevere. I'm struggling right now. I feel like giving up. I'm wondering if I should keep going on. Maybe you've walked away from God. You've failed miserably. Or maybe you're at the pinnacle of success and you've kind of walked away and you're doing life without God. As you look at these principles of pushing through, of perseverance, keeping connected in community, involving God in every part of your life, starting over if you failed, keep stepping forward, not getting beat back, but just saying, God, here I am. How many would say there's something in my life that I need to begin to push through? I need to apply one or more of these principles to my life. If that's you today, I just want you to raise your hand. I want to pray for you. How many would say, I need encouragement? I'm discouraged. Some say, I've gotten distracted from where I should be with God. I've allowed success or life. I've gotten too busy. I need rest. If you're saying, I want to push through, I want to keep going after him, just put your hand up and you put it back down. Many hands. I want to pray for you today. Lord God, you see every hand that was raised. God, you love us. You love us so much you gave your son to die on the cross. Jesus, you never quit on us. Remind us that you never quit. You could have called a legion of angels but you didn't give up. So God, help us to never give up. Help us to persevere. Help us to push through. God, help us to make bold steps. God, for some of us, that's getting rest in our lives. For some of us, it's starting over. For some of us, it's doing what seems to be insignificant. That doesn't matter much. For some of us, it's starting to pray. For some of us, it's building back relationships, coming out of isolation. Jesus, you know what we need. I pray you guide us. Lord, as our word came today, your Holy Spirit wants to reveal things to us. Reveal them this day. Reveal them in the days ahead. I thank you, you're faithful. I want you to stand to your feet this morning and begin to thank God for his faithfulness, that he's never left you. He's never abandoned you. He's never walked out on you. God, we magnify you. We praise you this morning. You're a great God who loves us. Oh, hallelujah. We're going to praise you as a main event. God, we're going to pray to you and ask that you take our needs and you meet them, God, according to your riches and glory and according to your will. God, you can be sovereign. You can be king. We're going to trust you no matter what. Praise you, Jesus. We talked about taking steps, and there are some of you this morning. The first step you need to take is a relationship with God. There's some of you, you're not a follower of Jesus. You're not a Christian. You've been doing your own thing. You're living life the way you want, and you haven't asked God to forgive you of your sin. You haven't surrendered your life to God. With no one looking around, whether you're live or you're online this morning, would you just raise your hand if you'd say, I need to take that step to Jesus. I need him to forgive me and become the leader of my life. I haven't involved him in my life. I need Jesus to be the leader of my life. If that's you, you need God to forgive you, save you from your sin, and start a relationship. Just put your hand up. No one looking around. It's a moment between you and God. How many would say this morning, I need to be forgiven. I need a relationship with God. Anyone here today, just put your hand up. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. Anyone else this morning? Anyone else today, if you're watching online and God's speaking to your heart, he's drawing you, go ahead and just lift your hand and say, God, here I am. I want to return. I want to repent. God, forgive me for what I've done. Anyone else in the house today, you'd say, that's me. I need a relationship with God. You can just put your hand up this morning. We're going to pray, and I'd like each of you to repeat this prayer after me. No one praying alone. Father God, I humble myself. I have sinned. I need forgiveness. I need you to lead me and guide me. I involve you in every part of my life. I commit myself to you. You're in charge. Help me to love you, follow you, and trust you. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. I receive your life. Help me to persevere, to push through any adversity or prosperity, that I walk honestly with you forever. Thank you, Jesus.
You have been listening to the podcast of Radius Church in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please check us out at radiuschurch.life or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation.